Welcome to the Medicare Help Desk radio show and podcast with Justin Colvin. Figuring out which coverage is best for you can be overwhelming and confusing. The Medicare Help Desk is here to answer all your questions. And now, here's your host, Medicare Specialist Justin Colvin.
Welcome to the Medicare Help Desk radio show and podcast. This is Justin Colvin, your host, author, and entrepreneur. I own the insurance agency, the Medicare Help Desk. Our website is www.themedicarehelpdesk.com. Our phone number, 850-632-0033. Today is episode 7 of our radio show and podcast, and we're going to be covering what is Medicare Part D. What is Medicare Part D as in drugs? So this is a big topic on a lot of my clients' minds, and so we're going to go over that in full detail. First segment, I'm going to break down a lot of the background, how it got started, what kind of plans are out there, how does it work, how much does it cost, how do I get it, just a lot of the basic questions that surround the program. And then in the second segment, we'll get into how do I determine what is the best drug plan, the best Part D drug plan for me, and how do I effect that change, when can I change, more logistics of it, okay? So we're going to kind of go through both of those. But this first segment, I kind of want to start out with, like, what is Medicare Part D? A lot of you already know that. If you're a client of mine or if you're a senior on Medicare, you have Part D, which is a prescription drug plan, otherwise known as a PDP, okay? So that's the just the acronym for that. And so you can get this a couple different ways. You can get it as a standalone Part D drug plan that you're going to pay for. You pay with a monthly premium. Or you can get it in combination with a Medicare Advantage plan, where they just integrate the Part D drug benefits into that specific plan. So those are the two ways you would get it. It was actually created back in the Bush administration in 2006, January 1st, 2006, this program started, okay? And it was under the legislation called the Medicare Prescription Drug Improvement and Modernization Act of 2003. So, you know, a lot of these different programs will pass on bill, and then usually it's 2 to 3 years later, it's phased in. And so that's kind of when it was launched. And so a lot of companies had drug coverage integrated into their other Medicare plan, like a lot of the supplement plans, but we don't see those as much now. Now, of course, it's all separated. You know, you have a distinct separate policy for this Part D benefit, unless you're in a Medicare Advantage plan, which will integrate the drug coverage. Not all Advantage plans do that, but the majority of them do. So we're going to just kind of segregate just this Part D benefit and just kind of unpack it all during today's session. So the Part D plan, as I mentioned, you can get by itself or standalone. We're going to kind of just go in the basic concept. Like if you are on a Medicare supplement plan, which would pay the 20% that traditional Medicare doesn't cover, as you know or may not know, but Medicare supplement plans do not contain Part D drug benefits. You have to buy a separate policy. This separate policy is going to have certain costs associated with them. The monthly premium being the biggest, well, the most noticeable thing for people is what you're going to pay for the insurance itself. That can vary widely, but most people spend somewhere between $15 and $30 a month. A lot of my clients are paying usually in the teens. There's plans around $17, $18, $19. There's even a plan as low as $7 a month, believe it or not, that just launched last year through SilverScript. SilverScript has now been rebranded into Aetna. And so Aetna is actually owned by CVS. That's the parent company, but it's essentially SilverScript Aetna that has the lowest premium. And there's plans you can spend as much as $100 a month or more. Now, most people aren't doing that, of course. And even those that have more expensive medications, you might think that, I should get the more expensive drug plan. It's going to pay a higher percentage of my cost. And sometimes it would, and sometimes it doesn't. But in a lot of cases, those plans that are $80, $90, $100 a month in premium for these Part D drug plans are not that much more advantageous. In many cases, they're actually more expensive than the $17 or $28 drug plan. So you have to do the research. You have to look at your drugs, research the pharmacies. And I'll go into that in a second segment on how you want to best shop the plan to determine which plan is going to be appropriate, because that will vary by person, of course. Everybody has different needs, different budgets. And you know, the main influence is the drugs you take, you know, what prescriptions you're actually taking. Will influence what the cost will be, and that will kind of drive what plan is most appropriate. But yes, monthly premium, that's the most obvious thing you're going to pay. The second item is the deductible. Okay, so most drug plans have a separate Part D drug deductible. It can vary as well. Most commonly, it's $445. Last year it was 435 in the year 2020. In 2021, it's 445. This is the max amount that's set by CMS. CMS is the Centers for Medicare Services. So they're kind of like the regulatory agency that oversees Medicare, and does a lot of the compliance and sets certain figure amounts. So this is the max amount that's allowed by the Medicare program for any Part D sponsor. So a lot of companies offer Part D plans. You might be asking, well, where can I get these plans? Well, it's a lot of the big names that do supplemental insurance, like Humana or Aetna or, you know, Cigna, United Healthcare, Mutual of Omaha, and there's many, many others. WellCare, there's so many. There's like dozens of them. But this deductible will vary. Typically, it's around 415, 430, the max being 445. There's even some that have no deductible. There's zero and everything in between. But most commonly, I would say they have that max amount of 445. And I want to preface that deductible doesn't apply on most drug plans. It doesn't apply to generics. And so when you are filling prescriptions, the way these drug plans are constructed is that you have a tier system kind of similar to drug coverage outside of the Medicare system. And the tier system is just based on cost. And so the way it's set up today is you have five tiers. Tiers one and two are generic. All right. So tiers one is actually preferred generic. They're going to have the lowest cost. And in many cases, these drugs are free. You pay nothing or like a dollar or two, depending on the plan. From that, you have tier two, which is just generic. Okay. Then you have tier three, preferred brand. Tier four, just brand or non-preferred brand. And then tier five, which a lot of people will never take in their lifetime, is a specialty med. Super expensive. These can be a lot of the cancer-based medications, other obscure conditions that are not common. People may take this or experimental new meds. So these are very expensive prescriptions, the tier five. Most customers, most seniors today, are typically taking a lot of tier ones and tiers two, maybe occasionally some tier threes, and even rarer for tier four, and very rare to be on tier five. So a lot of it's ones and twos and threes in terms of where the drugs kind of fall in terms of most common for what people take. And so most drug plans, this deductible, it looks kind of spooky, but it's really most plans don't apply it unless you take a tier three medication or higher. So a lot of plans, it's tiers three and above. Sometimes it's even just tiers four and above. But most will waive it, like I mentioned, for the generics. So if you're taking things like lisinopril, metformin, amlodipine, atorvastatin, and there's dozens more, levothyroxine, you know, these are just your day-to-day prescriptions. A lot of the diabetes, blood pressure, cholesterol, you know, acid reflux, thyroid medications, sleeping pills, just the most common. There's probably, goodness, I mean, I've been doing this for 7 years. I have thousands of clients. I bet there's probably 50, 60 meds that I could write down on a sheet of paper and say that, you know, 80 to 90% of all the drugs prescribed are on this sheet of paper. That's just how common it is. And, of course, you have outliers to that, but it's the 80-20 rule. A lot of the same drugs just get applied. And it's the same things people deal with, the same kind of medical conditions that are prescribed these prescriptions. And typically there is a generic, you know, medication available. And if there is, the costs are minimal, you know, pay a deductible. All right, so we've kind of beat that horse to death. Let's move on to the next thing within the cost spectrum. We talked about monthly premium. We talked about the drug deductible. And now we're going to discuss copays. Obviously, that's what you pay when you go to the pharmacy, or perhaps what you pay through the mail order. You don't have to necessarily get it in person retail, but a lot of folks do it that way. But the copay is what you pay for each unique medication, each individual medication. And sometimes that can be a zero copay, $1, $2. Now you get into the name brands like tier three. Let's say you had a heart incident recently, like a heart attack, stroke, pacemaker, bypass surgery, some type of cardiac event. A lot of doctors will prescribe a blood thinner. Okay, similar to like Eliquis. That's the one that's really trendy right now, is Eliquis, but there's also Xarelto, there's Pradaxa, there's others. Those are all tier three medications on most Part D drug plans, sometimes even a four, but mostly tier three. That will usually have a copay of $40 to $50, depending on the plan. And of course, you'll have to pay that deductible. So if you can take a generic blood thinner, let's say warfarin, which also goes by the name of Coumadin, been around forever, super cheap medication. That drug is typically free or a few bucks. It's very minimal. Now, it's still an effective medication, but it works differently. It's not, you do have to do the blood test as well. So it's a little more cumbersome in some people's lifestyles. They rather take these newer blood thinners because they don't require the blood test. But that's between you and your physician. But they're just kind of going over the cost aspect. The copays will vary by plan, and they will vary by the cost of the medication, depending what tier the drug plan puts that specific medication on. So that's why you need a competent agent that would help you with doing all this. That's where I can come in and help. And I'm going to go over in the second segment how you actually choose those plans. We did talk a little bit about the different companies as far as like what companies offer them. We'll get more into that, who's most competitive, the way to fill the prescriptions, all that and more in the next segment. We're going to pay some bills here, and we'll be back in a little bit, and we're going to get into all these other questions that you have. And I know you have more questions, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes. Welcome back to the Medicare Help Desk radio show and podcast. This is Justin Colvin, your host. We're discussing all things Medicare every Sunday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Today is episode 7, What is Medicare Part D? We just discussed a lot of topics around that subject in our first segment. I'm going to finish up with where I was kind of talking about previously and then get into more about how we procure the best drug plan, how we find and select it, when we can make the changes, more the logistical side of things. So if you're just tuning in with us, I run the MedicareHelpDesk.com website. We are a independent insurance brokerage, and I help clients with a number of plans, but mostly around the Medicare space. So it supplements Medicare Advantage, Part D prescription drug plans, which is what we're talking about today, dental, vision, life insurance, and retirement planning. So there's a lot of things I get involved with, but all things dedicated to seniors. So that is like 99% of what I'm doing. And so with this show, I try to provide as much value and content to my listeners. So if you're listening out there and you find this useful, hopefully it impacts you and helps give you some more information and make the best choices. If you have questions or you need me to do a plan review, I'm certainly happy to help. Again, you can call me or text me at 850-632-0033. Again, that's 850-632-0033. Or find me online again at www.themedicarehelpdesk.com. So where we were talking about previously in our first segment on drug plans, I was going over just how they're constructed, the cost. We talked about monthly premium. We talked about the annual deductible. We talked about copays. Those are the three main drivers for your drug plan. There is this thing called the donut hole. I'm not going to get into that part of the drug plan. I know a lot of that's on a lot of people's mind. I'm probably going to do an entire show just dedicated to the coverage gap, or quote-unquote the donut hole, which does exist with Part D drug plans. And it's kind of a hot topic for a lot of seniors, because if you take few or no medications, you'll never experience the donut hole, okay? If you're on like a blood thinner, like I was mentioning in the previous segment, or an inhaler for respiratory condition or other expensive medications, you'll easily sometimes hit that donut hole middle to even earlier part of the year, and you'll notice your drug costs increase significantly, and that's just the way the drug plans are built. But I will probably do an entire topic devoted to this donut hole coverage gap, because it's very convoluted. It's kind of messy. There's certain numbers we have to go over, but I will cover that in a future show. But delving into, again, where we left off, there are a lot of companies that specialize in Part D, and many of them write Medicare supplement plans, Medicare Advantage plans. They do everything. And these are big household names like an Aetna or a Humana, United Healthcare, Cigna, WellCare, etc., Mutual of Omaha. I have contracts with all those companies and many more, so I can shop all those plans for you. As far as who's most competitive, that will vary by region. It also varies by what prescriptions you're taking, right? But the big three I said probably write the most with currently would be WellCare, Humana, and Aetna, which is essentially SilverScript, but has been rebranded into Aetna. Those are probably the three I write most often in terms of who's most competitive. And of course, over the years, it changes. This stuff is all cyclical. So I've written a lot of Mutual of Omaha drug plans. I've written United Healthcare drug plans and Vision. But every year it kind of varies. But those currently are the most three competitive from what I find in my practice. You may be asking, okay, so why do the costs vary? And I have this question a lot. Why do my costs vary for my prescriptions depending on where I fill them? Well, drug plans all have basically three ways you can fill the prescriptions in terms of the cost structure, okay? So you have essentially from good, better, best. I guess I'll present it like that. You have what's called standard pharmacy network. You have a preferred pharmacy network. And then you have the mail order, which usually is the lowest cost or the best way to fill your medication. So, for example, let's take Aetna, for example, which is SilverScript. They are owned, their parent company is CVS Health. Obviously, CVS pharmacies are everywhere in Florida. They're everywhere throughout the country. That is a preferred pharmacy. Now, they have others like Costco, sometimes Kroger. A lot of it depends on the specific plan. But the main one is CVS. And for obvious reasons, that's their parent company. So they want you to use CVS. That is the preferred pharmacy, meaning you will have the lowest drug cost copays if you go to a CVS pharmacy. So they're preferred. Could you go to Walgreens? Of course. You certainly could. Now, you're going to pay more because they're a standard pharmacy in a lot of cases. Sometimes they're even out of network. We hadn't really gotten into that, but it's rare. But there's sometimes pharmacies that are completely just out of network. You can't use them at all. So this is important. You want to go through this. When you choose your drug plan or have someone help you with assisted, they should be covering all these different factors, like what pharmacy should I use? If they already have a designated pharmacy, you want to try to find the plan that matches up best for that. But certainly, you have the ability to go wherever you like within some kind of context. But in terms of the best cost, which would be the lowest cost for you, the user, the customer, you want to try to utilize the plan as best as possible. And for a lot of people, that's the mail order. Now, I have some folks that they're opposed to it. They might be in a rural area, so the delivery for mail is not as optimum as they'd like it. Some medications can't be delivered by mail, like narcotics, some forms of insulin. I mean, it just depends. But a lot of the costs will be cheaper if you utilize the mail order benefit. And that varies by plan. But for example, Aetna uses CVS Caremark for obvious reasons. Again, CVS is the parent company. If you look at Humana, their preferred pharmacy is Walmart. They have a plan called Humana Walmart Value PDP. Well, Walmart's the preferred pharmacy, as is Sam's Club. Of course, you can go to Costco. Of course, you can go to CVS, other places. But typically, they are going to be a standard pharmacy. Depends on the plan. Again, they have many different plans, but preferred having some of the lowest cost that you can get. And then standard being more expensive than that because it's not their preferred pharmacy network. And then the mail order usually, not always, but usually in most cases, has the lowest drug cost, period. And so you're getting, it's almost like buying, think of it like Amazon. You're getting your prescriptions from an Amazon-type vendor. So Humana has their own proprietary mail order service called Humana Mail Order Pharmacy. All right? So a lot of you that have a Humana Medicare Advantage plan, the Humana Mail Order Pharmacy is the same it's the same administrator for your over-the-counter benefit. This would be on an Advantage plan. So you're already probably using them to get your OTC benefits. So why not use them for your mail order as long as that fits your disposition? Another company would be United Healthcare. Okay, so they partner with Walgreens. That's their preferred pharmacy. Their mail order is Optum Rx. All right, so Optum would be who you would get your prescription drugs through the mail. So it kind of gives you some examples there. So what we're going to talk about next, if you're just tuning in, is Justin Colvin with the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show and Podcast. We're covering all things with Part D today, which is the prescription drug plan component of the Medicare system. A lot of folks want to change mid-year, and I'll tell them, you know, this has a very specific enrollment window. And so as far as when can you change your plan, if you're not happy, the best time, and usually for most people, the only time is during the annual election period or annual enrollment period. That's every fall, October 15th through December 7th. Okay, that's October 15th through December 7th with the new plan that you change into effective January 1st. So that is what most people, that's the opportunity they have. Now, if you're new to Medicare, i.e. turning 65, for example, or you have delayed your Medicare because you're still working and have employer coverage, and you're entering Medicare, let's say it's 66, 67, 68, because this is their first entrance into Medicare, obviously, you have the ability to pick a drug plan. You're new to Medicare. That doesn't apply to you. This is considered your IEP or your initial enrollment period. You're brand new to the Medicare system. Of course, you can pick a drug plan. But if you're not new and you're not in the annual enrollment period, which is the fall, then you're kind of out of luck, unfortunately, to change a drug plan unless you have what's called an SEP. And these occur sometimes. They're a little more rare, but it's called a special enrollment period. And this would be things like you moved outside the coverage area. And then your plan was dropped. Perhaps you lost coverage from your spouse or from your own job. That's a qualifying event. You've lost coverage through no fault of your own. Of course, you can pick up another drug plan. There's other instances where this may occur as well, but you have to fit certain stipulations. Getting on Medicaid or losing your Medicaid benefits, qualifying for extra help or some kind of subsidy. Again, these don't come up that often, But a good, competent agent or broker knows a lot of these SEPs. That's what I do when I help my clients, is find potentially a special enrollment period. I actually had a gal this week call me, and she was in Virginia, and we used a special enrollment period up there. There was a FEMA disaster because of the civil unrest with the election. And so CMS, which again, I referenced them earlier in my first segment, Centers for Medicare, they can deem certain special enrollment periods. And one recently we had was in Texas because of inclement weather. With all the crazy snow and just extreme weather conditions, they granted a special enrollment period for the entire state. And those folks can now make changes on their plan, even though it's not open enrollment. You know, it's not the annual enrollment period of the fall. And that occurs, like wildfires can affect this, civil unrest, tornadoes, storms, hurricanes, etc. But Medicare has to set that. That's just in addition to some of these other, you know, special enrollment periods I've mentioned. So how do I change my drug plan? Just kind of shifting gears to the last segment of our topics today. There are several ways you can do this. Medicare.gov is probably one of the most efficient ways because you can shop all the drug plans. So it's just www.medicare.gov. You type in your prescriptions, dosages, pick your pharmacy, and it does all the heavy lifting. You can compare all the plans. Certainly you can go to the carrier website as well, like say Aetna or Humana, but it's going to be a little more difficult because you're only going to get that company's perspective. If you need help, I can help you personally with this. You can also give me a call at 850-632-0033. Again, it's Justin Colvin with the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show and Podcast. We will see you next week.